Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Have you ever been given a promise, a life-changing promise, that you waited a long time to see come to fulfillment? Join me again with King Solomon in the city of Jerusalem shortly after the great dedication of the great temple, which we witnessed over the past few days, as recorded in 2 Chronicles 5, 6, and 7. After that unforgettable temple dedication experience in which God sent fire from heaven to burn up the sacrifice on the altar, and the cloud of God's presence filled the temple, 2 more weeks of celebration followed in Jerusalem. Then all the people returned home to resume their normal lives, King Solomon resumed his kingly responsibilities, and the priests began their new daily responsibilities in the function of this great temple. Unexpectedly, King Solomon received a visitation from God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12 says, "The Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said, 'I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, or I command locusts to devour the land, or I send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place.'" As you perhaps know, what is today called the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem is a portion of the western wall of the Temple Mount, which has survived centuries of time and wars, and is therefore a place where Jews gather to pray because of this promise made by God to King Solomon. "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place." Yesterday we looked closely at the first part of this great 2 Chronicles 7 promise from God to King Solomon. And yes, several times during the ensuing years, God fulfilled his great promise as his people cried out to God from this temple in repentance and sought God's face for deliverance when enemies surrounded them. It happened about 60 years after the temple dedication, during the reign of King Asa, as recorded in 2 Chronicles 14 and 15. It happened again about 100 years after the temple dedication, during the reign of King Jehoshaphat, as recorded in 2 Chronicles 20. And a third time during the reign of King Hezekiah, about 710 BC, as recorded in 2 Chronicles 32. Yesterday, we looked closely at this promise from God and the first 3 conditions God required of his people if he was going to respond to their prayers and rescue them. Today, let's look at the 4th condition God is waiting for: repentance from our evil, sinful ways, which is what God meant by the phrase he spoke, "turn from their wicked ways." This action, like the other 3, is also rooted deeply in the integrity of our heart, isn't it? So easily, some people apologize with a quick, "sorry about that," quip. That's not what God is seeking. Authentic repentance results from our being repulsed by our sin, recognizing that our sin separates us from God and leads us into perish, and that our sin deserves the death penalty. That's what God was describing as he spoke to the prophet Ezekiel, who had been taken into captivity in Babylon after King Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed Jerusalem and this temple Solomon built. You'll find that in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 31. So it should not be difficult for us to distinguish the difference between an authentic repentance and a fake. God disregards the fake. More than that, God is offended by superficial repentance. In fact, fake repentance yields bondage in our lives and further distances us from God. When God promised, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place," God was promising King Solomon and all kings of Israel who would follow Solomon and all the people of Israel that God would be forever attentive to the activities, the attitudes, and the words spoken here in this sacred place, the temple of Jehovah God in Jerusalem. It was a glorious promise which many generations of Jews have cherished, and therefore they've made pilgrimage to this place for festivals, sacrifice, and prayer. I've stood there surrounded by prayer shawl-clad Jewish men praying at the wall. It's a powerful experience. But my friends, Israel is today once again surrounded by enemies and a bitter war of self-defense. And once again, there are devout, diligent Jews earnestly praying, both at the wall and around the world, that God would come to Israel's rescue. And therefore, it's very important that we consider what else God said in that remarkable visitation with King Solomon, recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 19. But if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I have given you, and you go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land, which I have given them, and I will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. During the nearly 400 years which followed that great temple dedication with King Solomon, until King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army totally destroyed Jerusalem and demolished that temple, several times both the people and their kings forsook God, sometimes even closing the doors of the temple and discontinuing worship of Jehovah God, replacing God with man-made statues and idols from neighboring wicked nations. Then, after 70 years in Babylonian captivity, God miraculously moved, so his people were permitted to return and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple, as recorded in Ezra chapter 1 through 6. It was to that temple, refurbished by King Herod the Great, that Jesus led his disciples on several occasions, as recorded in the Gospels. And yet, once again, repeatedly, God's people turned away from God, drawn to other religions or simply to secularism and no spirituality at all. So again, God turned Jerusalem and this place of worship over to be destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. The lesson should be clear to us. God stands by both his promises and his warnings. Do we understand that, my friends? As God is watching the activities of our world, of your city and mine, of your family and mine, of you and me, does God see men and women of God-honoring integrity, raising the next generation to be a God-honoring generation? And therefore, is God pouring out his blessings and protecting his people? Or is God seeing vast numbers of people turning away from God, and is he preparing to pour out his judgment as he promised? That's an important question for us to ponder today, isn't it? And here's a worship song to help us consider how we fit into 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12 to 20. And I'll meet you right back here tomorrow.